Is this not working?
Thank you. You turned on. Testing 1, 2, 3. Test. All right, I'll use this. Okay. All right, I'll use both of them. All right. So we're going down this road, and it's frustrating, and it's difficult. And then, I turn around and take that other path. And it's so much easier when I, follow better directions and really listen and really know where I'm going and take that path. And then when I get there, everybody's in a good mood and things are a lot better. And life is a lot like that. Okay, you get the picture here this morning about the figuring out the fork in the road. Sometimes we don't listen to the directions. And sometimes we do take the wrong path. And maybe you've faced that in your own life. And when you come to that fork in the road, if you take one path, that could be bondage. If you take the other path, that's freedom. Okay? So that's what we're faced with this morning. Are we going to take the path of bondage? Are we going to take the path of freedom? See, when we come to that fork in the road, we've got to realize it is a place of decision, a choice, or a challenge. And if we don't make a choice to choose that path of freedom by default, by choosing no path at all, you're really choosing bondage. You do understand that, right? It's actually called denial. Denial isn't just a river in Egypt. It's, it's real, okay? And you can't just ignore it. You got to deal with it. And if you just choose to ignore it, that's bondage too. So we've been using a passage of scripture talking about the road to Emmaus in Luke chapter 24. And we see in this passage of scripture that on the road to Emmaus, that there was these guys that encountered the resurrected Christ. Okay? And they didn't recognize him. They didn't recognize him at first. So Jesus, is on this road to Emmaus with them. Jesus was planning on, he was going to continue in the direction he was going, but he began to share with these men who he really was. He began to share about in the law and the prophets how he had fulfilled the scriptures that the Savior, the Messiah, was going to have to suffer these things, and he was going to be crucified and buried 3 days. On the third day, he would raise up from the grave. And then Jesus was going to keep going, but the men begged him to come home with them. And so he decided to go home with them, and he shared more about himself. He actually ate with them. And then that brings us to this scripture right here where God's word says in Luke 24, verses 29 and 31, but they begged him to stay the night with them since it was getting late. So he went home with them. Suddenly their eyes were open, and they recognized him. And at that moment, he disappeared. So what was their fork in the road? These guys that were on this road to Emmaus, their fork in the road was this. They had encountered the resurrected Christ. Christ had shared with them who he really was and who he is. They could have chosen to allow Jesus to keep going and not invite him to their home and continue life as usual on the path of bondage. But they chose to beg him to come to their home. They listened to Jesus. Jesus opened their eyes, and they recognized him. And it was the biggest, most important life-changing decision they ever made. So that's what we're facing today. Are we going to continue on that path of bondage? Are we going to continue down our life and just continue to go our own way or doing our own thing? Or are we going to choose Christ, one or the other? I want you to finish this sentence. It's just like me to be blank. You fill in the blank. Okay? That's that road of bondage that a lot of times we identify with. We've been that way for so long, and we might say, it's just like me to be afraid, or it's just like me to worry, or it's just like me to not get involved, to try to avoid conflict at all costs, or it's just like me to do this, it's just like me to do that, it's just like me to think this, it's just like me to think that. And we, we have these sort of things, and we identify with it sometimes, and it can be bondage. Have you ever heard someone say this? This is when it gets really bad. People don't change. When when you get right down to it, people really don't change. You ever heard anybody say that? And that's a hard place when you get to that point and you think people don't change. People do change. I think we heard a testimony this morning of a miracle that God did in someone's life, of how God changed this person. And I think anybody that knows Diane Saylor and her husband Conrad would attest to the fact that if you know them, that they're one of the most loving and most kind people you ever meet. And they have a joy. They even have a joy in their life. I noticed this. I've seen this. I've been around them. And that has to be God. That's Christ in them. The joy of the Lord is their strength. There's no doubt I see that in their life. So they're a testimony this morning of a changed life. You know, what we're talking about here is really character defects or habits or any hurt or hang-up that we have in our life that just holds us captive or holds us in bondage to our own sinful behavior and selfish habits. And, you know, and we want to find ways to get over that and go to the path of freedom where there is joy and peace and love and kindness and goodness and self-control. That's the path we want to be on. That's the road we want to take. But too many times we ignore it. We don't do what we need to do, and we just continue on that path that holds us captive to sin, to our own selfish desires. I've got a good testimony. It's somewhat comical, but a good testimony of how people do change. You know, biting your fingernails is a hard habit to break. Would you agree with that? You know, I did it for years. I think I did it when I was a baby. I think when I was born, I came out of the womb, you know, just biting my fingernails or something. But, you know, sucking my thumb maybe, I don't know. But you know, I always bit my fingernails, and it was a nasty habit. My mom tried to get me to break it for years, and my wife too. And you know, then I have three girls. When I started working at the Home Depot just a couple years ago, just in the past 2 years, it biting my fingernails was a habit that I finally broke. I think I was worried about all that dirt that was getting under my nails or something. But anyway, you can come check this morning. You can look at my nails, okay? Proof that people do change. I praise God for it. I thank God for it. I kid you not. I told my girls I was going to share this as proof that people do change, and they were wanting to paint my fingernails. And I was like, no way. We're not going to do that, okay? But anyway, none of that. Nope. So people do change. And it's a hard habit to break. And habits can be very hard to break, but you can break them. Because, you know, there's been other things in my life that have been difficult, you know, in my life that God's helped me overcome and get through. And I know there's many of you out there this morning that could testify to the fact that Jesus has changed your life. If you don't think people change, consider the life of Saul in the Bible, who was the greatest or the chiefest among sinners, he called himself. But God changed him from Saul to Paul. It's in the book of Acts. Read it. It's all in there. He's an example of what God's grace can do. So check it out. I challenge you to get to know some of the people in this church, and you'll notice that, you know, that there are definitely a number of people here that have allowed the grace of God to change their life, and they're on that path of freedom. But many of us have come here this morning, and we're in bondage. We're in bondage of addictions. We're in bondage with certain unhealthy relationships. We're in bondage to all kind of unhealthy habits. We're in bondage to something somebody said years ago or something someone done. Maybe you're in bondage to just, is someone close to you by something they said or they something they did in your life? But you can be free this morning. I want to share with you this morning, how do you cooperate with God's change process? And there's a very important word when we think about how do we cooperate with God in his change process. If you really want to change, and I know, you know, oh, man, when we talk about change, man, change is hard work. It is hard work, right, Diane? It's hard work. You know, we're like, man. And some of us, you know, we're like, we're comfortable. We identify with that bondage that we're in. And that, you know, it's just like us to be, you know, so-and-so and so forth. But you know what? You can either continue down that painful path of bondage and continue down, you know, hurt and broken relationships and it affecting you in your personal life. It can affect your marriage. It can affect your job. It can affect your life. And, you know, and you can either choose, you know, to have a better life or not. And, you know, if you choose that path of freedom, you can have what we're talking about this morning. Love, forgiveness, grace, truth, joy, happiness, love. It can be yours. It's a choice that you have to make. And it's all in how you focus and what you're focusing on. And I'm going to share with you quickly this morning seven things that you must focus on to cooperate with God's change process, because it is a process. And number one is that you've got to focus on changing one problem at a time. Because for a lot of us, me included, when we come to God and we're on this road of discovery of knowing more about who God is and knowing Him better and knowing who we are, so we can go down this path of freedom, we realize we've got a lot more than just one problem. Well, where do you start, you know? And maybe some of you have started taking that spiritual inventory or audit of yourself. You can go online to our website, click on that, and you can find that there about doing a spiritual audit. And Bud talked about that last week. It's good to do that and have that time of confession and cleansing in your life, allowing God to help you and just cooperating with God to help you change, you know, to change, to go down the path of freedom. So what happens is that, you know, we're stuck. We're like, where do we start? And a lot of times we want to start where we want to start. You know, we're like, well, you know, I'll deal with these things later, and I think I'll just deal with this right now. Let me give you an idea that I think is biblical about where to start. Pray and ask God, God, where do you want me to start? What do you want me to work on first? And in Proverbs 17, verse 24, God's word says, an intelligent person aims at wise action, but a fool starts off in many directions. What happens if we try to focus on changing all the stuff at one time is that a lot of times we it's like too much and we get discouraged and we give up. Isn't that what we do? So ask God, you know, you need to do this. You just need to think to yourself this morning, and it'd be good just to write it down. And maybe however you feel in that blank, it's just like me to be blank. However you feel in that blank, that's probably the first thing you need to work on. Or whatever's causing the most hurt and pain in your life, that's a good indicator of what you ought to work on first. Focus on one problem, changing one problem at a time, and allow God to begin that change process in your life. And I guarantee you, if you ask God and seek God in His direction to help you overcome what problem He wants you to work on first, and if you ask Him what that is, He'll point it out and He'll show you. And you've got to make sure it's what God wants you to work on first and not what you want to work on first. All right? So number two, you've got to focus on victory one day at a time. And God's word says in Matthew 6:34, don't worry about tomorrow. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Jesus also taught us to pray, give us this day, Lord, our daily bread. And so God wants us to focus on today and to walk with Him daily and to refocus daily. A lot of times we get so focused on what other people might say, what other people might think of me, and we worry about the future. And the only way to really have peace and security in life is to place your life in the hands of the man that knows the future. That's not Sister Dorothy that can read your palm. That's Jesus. He's the only one that really knows the future. He's the only one that can really give you peace in life and one day at a time. You know, I know people that have been overcoming drug addicts, overcoming alcoholics, and they can tell me how many days that they've been free. And some of them can tell you how many years until the day that they've been sober, that they've been clean. That's a good thing, because every day, you know, the Bible clearly teaches us that every day we're to daily commit our day to God. And start our day off with the Lord. And, you know, every day might be a struggle, but you start your day off. God, I dedicate this day to you, God. Help me. And you walk with the Lord. And you have faith in Him. And walk in faith, trusting Him step by step, day by day. And then your days will become months. Your months will become years. And then you'll be able to look back and see what God's done in your life. And you'll be like, thank you, Jesus, for carrying me through those times. So focus on one problem at a time. Focus on one day at a time. And then number three, focus on God's power, not willpower. And how do you tell the difference? I want to talk about that some. First of all, Philippians 4:13 says, I can master anything with the help of Christ who gives me strength. Let me first say about this, that if willpower worked, you would have stopped a long time ago. All right? Okay, we can all agree with that. All right? So, if, you know, a lot of us are trying everything we can. We're trying to do it our way, and we're trying to muster up as much strength as we can to try to stop. And we've got our own ideas of how to stop it. We've got our own ideas about how to overcome problems in our life, addictions and bondage and things that enslave us to our own selfish desires. You know, we're held captive by those things. And we've got our own ideas of how to deal with it. That's called willpower. And then God has his truth about how to overcome. And then God tells us specifically in his word about how to overcome. One of the things I love about testimonies is that you can hear about how God has helped people overcome things, and it's so encouraging, isn't it? And just like Diane's testimony is this morning, and I've heard a number of smokers who've quit smoking. That's another hard habit to break, right? But I know some people that have done it, all right? And even somebody write on your connection card, I have been smoking for so and so many days. And I'm like, we see those, and we rejoice with you, and things like that. So, but I've heard several testimonies, and it's interesting. It's been smokers that I've heard this testimony from about how they've quit, and they struggle with it. They struggle with it for years, even drugs. Even somebody on marijuana, a good friend of mine, not too long ago, he shared with me the same testimony about how he overcame addiction to marijuana. And basically, in his own words, this is what these people say that have overcome this. They say, "I didn't quit smoking until I got to the point where I realized there was just no way I was going to be able to overcome it." And I realized that they just got to the point where they just cried out to God and they said, "God, I can't do it. It's got a hold on my life. It's like a curse. God, you know I got the desire to do this. And God, you're just going to have to take this desire away." And in their own words, I hear this time after time after time, that that's how people have overcome. And I'm like, well, that sounds biblical. That sounds like the truth. That's what God's told us. We've got to come to the point where we give up. Say, "God, we can't do it. God, we need help. Help us, Jesus. Help me. You are my Savior. You are my Lord. You are my Deliverer. God, take this desire away." And it's interesting. They say that God takes the desire away. I've heard people say that God takes the desire away so much that they have such a hunger and a thirst and a desire for Christ and knowing Jesus better that just even the thought of smoking or being in a smoky room gives them a headache. They get migraines. They get nauseated. And that's God changing their desire. God does that. Have you ever heard people share a testimony like that before? It can be done. How do they do it? By focusing on one problem at a time, one day at a time, and focusing not on willpower, but on God's power. So the power is in Jesus' name. The power is in the name of Jesus. It's in calling on Christ to help you to take the desire away and to give you a new desire for Him. To take those unhealthy desires away and to give you healthy desires. You know, a great picture of what willpower really is like, I've heard that if, you know, you drive a ship and you put a ship on autopilot and it's headed in one direction, and then all of a sudden, you know, you've got it on autopilot to go in this specific direction, you can turn the wheel of the ship and it can go the other way. But when you turn that wheel of that ship to go in a way different than what is said on autopilot, it's hard to turn that wheel. And yes, you can turn directions, but it's hard to turn that wheel. And there's friction, and there's struggle, and there's frustration. But you can turn that wheel. And what happens is eventually you get weak. And there's so much friction, and it's so difficult to turn that wheel that all of a sudden you let go because your strength is just spent. And as soon as you let go of that wheel, guess what happens? It goes right back to autopilot, right where it's supposed to go. Now, that's a good picture of the difference between God's power and willpower. A lot of times God has a path for us to follow, and it's called freedom. And sometimes we try to turn the wheel and deal with our own way, and we've got our own ideas of how to overcome. It's like we're in the driver's seat of our life. We've got to, you know, change the pilot. The pilot needs to be Jesus. You know, you heard that before. That bumper sticker, "God is my co-pilot." or no, God is my pilot. I'm co-pilot. No, you know, God needs to be the pilot, right? You understand what I'm saying? You've got to change who's in the driver's seat of your life. No, you're no longer to be the boss or the director of your life. You allow God, the Lord, to direct your life. So that's the difference between God's power and willpower. The power is in this right here. There's power in the Word of God. There's power in the God of the Word. If you've got a problem, I guarantee you there's a solution in here of how to overcome. If you've got a problem, there's a promise from God's Word. Have you found what your promise is for your problem? Hopefully you've defined what your problem is this morning. The first thing that God wants you to work on. Now, the next thing you need to do is, man, you need to go to Jesus. Jesus, change my desire. Help me, Jesus. And daily refocus on Him and get in His Word and find that precious promise. There's many promises in God's Word. I guarantee you this, you can overcome anything, any barrier, any obstacle, anything that's holding you captive. You can be set free. You'll listen to this right here. There's supernatural power. There's power in the Word of God, and He can help you overcome. I want to share with you that there are many people, just like Diane here this morning, that have been through CR, Celebrate Recovery. And, you know, what amazes me about some of these folks that go through Celebrate Recovery is that they go through these step studies. And they have, like, specific steps. You know, one step at a time, one day at a time, one problem at a time. I mean, they're studying these steps. They're teaching these steps. They're finding victory. They're celebrating victory after victory. When there's struggles and relapses, there's redemption. There can be restoration and forgiveness. But people are finding victory. Lives have been changed. People have overcome. People have changed through that ministry. I'd just like to ask anybody that's here this morning that could testify to the fact that you've actually been through those step studies before and that God's changed your life, I want you to stand up right now. And we want to celebrate that with you. Look at the number of these people. Let's give them a hand. All right, thank you. Thank you. You can be seated. You know, I encounter people every week that say, you know, I'm struggling with this. And I'm like, you know, we got a ministry for that. It's called CR, and I got that from some of you guys. I've been there a few times. I love it. It's great stuff. And I'm like, well, if you're struggling with this, or if you're struggling with any kind of hurt, habit, or hang-up in your life, why don't you just show up on Friday nights at 7 o'clock? And dig into these step studies. I've studied these step studies before, too. I've preached on them numerous times. I'm living them out myself. I've learned them. I've taught them. I've memorized them myself. And that's where the victory comes in obedience to the commands that God has taught us in His Word. And that's what these folks are doing. I'm like, man, you know, if you really want victory in your life, get serious. Dig into the Word. Take these step studies, go through each one of these steps and work it out. And watch and see the transformation that God will do in your life. You know, CR is a great place to go. I'm kind of partial to that ministry because lives have been changed. We've seen people baptized and great things God's doing over there. And now they have this new Edge Bay over here, the Edge Cafe, Friday nights at 7. I can't say enough about that ministry. Praise God for what He's doing there. I've got to hurry this morning. Number four is focus on what I want, not on what I don't want. And a lot of times we live life like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this anymore. I really want to stop. And, you know, I don't want to be this way. And, you know, I just can't help it. You know, and, oh, man, we get so frustrated. And, you know, instead of focusing on what you don't want, how about get a picture of what you really want to become? Get a vision for your life. Get a healthy vision for your life. Instead of an unhealthy vision, instead of what you don't want to be, start get a picture, a mental picture, or start to have faith. You know, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In other words, begin to see what God wants to do in your life and picture that. Focus on it. See it. Fix your eyes on Christ and allow Him to begin to transform you. Set some goals for your life. Begin to work out some plans. Write out some plans to reach those goals. Get serious about this. Your life depends on it. Schedule your life or your life will schedule you. We've got to get intentional. We've got to get purposeful. We've got to be Christ to our family. We've got to be Christ to other people. We've got to become more like Christ. That means we've got to get a vision, get a picture of what we want instead of what we don't want. Setting goals, setting plans to reach those goals, and being who God wants us to be. We've got to do it. Number five, focus on doing good, not feeling good. Have we talked about that enough here already? Are you getting tired of hearing that? Sometimes I get a little tired of hearing it, but you know, I remind myself, you know what? I need to keep on hearing it until I do it. And we need to be reminded often. You know, we talk about how it's better to act your way into a feeling than to feel your way into an action, right? Have you heard that before? It's been said before up here. And how many of you know that emotions can lie? Feelings can lie. So, you know, I saw another bumper sticker that said this: if it feels good, do it. And most of our culture and our society, our country today, they live off of that slogan: if it feels good, do it. When I saw that bumper sticker, I was like, man, you know, I really feel like this. I can't stand that bumper sticker. So what I really feel like doing right now is this. I think I'm just going to bump that bumper. And have I told you this story before? And so that's what I did. I just bumped him and crashed into him. And the person got out and said, man, what are you doing? And I said, well, your bumper sticker said if it feels good, do it. And I felt like just running into you. And I said, do you have a problem with that? And they said, yeah, I do have a problem with that. And I said, well, you might want to change your bumper sticker. But now I'm just joking. I really didn't do that. But I definitely feel like doing that sometimes. Okay. All right. That was a good one. So anyway, you know, we've got to make sure that we don't allow our emotions and our feelings to rule our life. And we've got to focus on doing right. And you know what's interesting about it? If you focus on doing right, the right feelings will follow. Because sometimes I might not feel like loving my wife, but I better love my wife, right, Christy? I better. Yeah. That's right. Okay. So do right. Do right, and the feelings will follow. A lot of people say, well, I've fallen out of love. Well, you can fall back into love if you'll start being obedient and loving your spouse like you should. Number six, focus on people who help me, not hinder me. And, you know, it's a good idea if you have a struggle with an addiction of, you know, alcohol, you probably don't want to hang out with the people at the bar. I mean, it's, that makes sense. You know, you want to hang out with people here in your small group at church, you know, Celebrate Recovery, these guys. And, you know, some of you this morning, you need to break off some relationships. If you're going to get healthy, if you're going to get to that path of freedom, some of you are held captive in bondage by the company that you carry around with you. Bad company corrupts good character. And so some of you need to break off maybe a boyfriend or girlfriend relationship that's not a godly relationship. And you need to get that right because you're held captive. You're in bondage to that relationship. Because if Christ is important to you, you'll do that. So focus on people who help you, don't hinder you. As iron sharpens iron, so people can improve each other. So we've got some great folks here. We've got some great pastors and great elders in this church. I'm so thankful for our elders. And you can go up to any of these pastors or elders here. And I mean, these are people you want to hang around. I actually want to hang around our elders. I like them. They're cool old dudes, as my daughters would say. But anyway, I got that from my, you know, daughters, okay? They're 10 and 12 years old. So y'all remember that, right? Okay. All right. So, we got some ministry leaders in this church. Okay, we're having a good time. We're going to have to come to a close here, y'all. I'm going to have to finish up. All right, and then I'm going to have to deal with some relational issues myself. Okay, here we go. But you've got to find some trusted Christian friends. Please hear the truth this morning. You've got to build some relationships. You're going to have to take the initiative to build some relationships with some trusted Christian friends. And if you don't have that, you can build it here. We've got some great opportunities here. And but you're going to have to take that initiative. And it takes work and it takes time. And you're going to have to be committed to it. Your life will be healthier for it. And And we've got to provide that for one another. Number seven, focus on progress, not perfection. Philippians 1:6 says, God who began the good work within you will keep right on helping you grow in his grace until the task with you is finally finished. So I want you to think about this as we focus on progress and not perfection. And because there was only one perfect one, that's Jesus. And we're here to worship him, and we're striving for Jesus, to be like Jesus, to be like the only perfect one that's ever lived, and that's Jesus. And he's our focus this morning, and hopefully there's been some progress in your life where you've become like Jesus. Has there been any change in your life? The Christian life is a changed life. It's a different life. Has Christ changed your life in the past year? How much progress has taken place in your life in the past year? Have you seen any change taking place? How about in the past 5 years? 10, 20 years. Some of you have been Christians for years, more than that. What kind of changes is Christ making in your life? Can you look back in your life and see how God began a good work in you, and then he's continuing a great work in you? And if you don't see any change, one of two things needs to happen. One is, well, you need to come to Christ. You need to take that first step and stop focusing on your problems and start focusing on Jesus. So maybe you've never really came to Christ. Maybe you haven't allowed him to even begin that good work in you. You need to do that today. Maybe you have done that, but you've stopped focusing on him and been focusing on something else. And today you need to refocus. And you need to start allowing him to change, and you need to begin to cooperate with this change process. I hope that you'll keep this outline. I hope that you'll put it up on your mirror, your refrigerator, or wherever you put stuff. I hope you just won't throw it in the trash. I hope that you'll keep this. There's some really good practical stuff in here that will help you overcome your problems if you'll cooperate with God's change process. Let's pray. God, thank you for the time of study we've had this morning. Thank you for the testimony we've heard. God, I pray that each and every person here this morning would continue to allow you to create the change process in our life. God, we want to submit to you and allow you to have first place. And God, we give you our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I want to encourage you to be sure to take your connection cards there in the seat back in front of you. Place it in the offering box before you leave. Don't forget your tithes and offerings from our regulars. And we do have brunch in the conference center. And there's also kids stuff at 10 o'clock. We invite you to go to kids stuff in God's Big House as well. Have a good day. Good week. God bless you.